From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. At the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris, the world leaders have come, they've given their speeches, they had their say, and now it's down to brass tacks. For another week, negotiators from nearly 200 countries will work to try and come up with a plan to address climate change. But there's a catch. It needs to be accepted by everyone in order to take effect. Well, considering how significant an agreement might be, it should come as no surprise that many businesses, and Wall Street in particular, are closely monitoring these talks. And with me to discuss all this are Greg Zuckerman with The Wall Street Journal. He's also the author of The Frackers, the outrageous inside story of the new billionaire wildcatters. And Peter Coy, he's the economics editor at Bloomberg Businessweek. And he also wrote this magazine's recent cover story, which has the headline, "We're So Screwed." So first, Peter, let me ask you, if we step back, what is at stake at this conference?
This is one of these momentous events where everybody comes together and fails to come to agreement.
You think it'll be a failure?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a failure in the sense that we're not going to get the deal that is required to solve global warming. And we know that because, in a sense, they're not even trying to do that at this stage. What they're saying is countries should come in with voluntary targets for how much each country is going to reduce its emissions or slow the rise of its emissions, knowing that even if they all abided by what they're agreeing to, the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere would continue to rise enough that the temperatures would rise and the sea levels would rise and all these bad things would still happen. So a certain amount of failure is baked into it. Now, if you accept that, hey, you can't do everything at once, then it could be perceived as a relative success.
Well, Greg, presuming that investors know this, that businesses are watching this and aware of this, what is it exactly that they are looking at when it comes to these negotiations? And basically, how are they going to make money? Where are they putting their money?
So short term, there's a little concern and on the part of investors because oil and gas prices have been crushed. And
they're so low and gas prices for consumers are so low.
Exactly. You are seeing some really interesting longer term investments by people you wouldn't necessarily presume to be fans of things like alternative energy. KKR, the big private equity firm, they continue to do kind of longer term bets on things like solar panels and wind, which is encouraging. I'm a big believer in letting market forces do their thing rather than depending on governments. So you are seeing the efficiency of solar and wind and alternatives improve. They're more competitive. They still need a lot of help. They can't really compete with falling fossil fuel prices right now. But longer term, it's sort of encouraging.
So Peter, what does this mean for the fossil fuel company, for the coal industry? If you have countries, you know, maybe they're not as extensive as they could be, trying to reduce fossil fuels, if you have oil and gas prices already at very low prices, and you have businesses which are looking to the long term and investing in solar and wind and things like that, what does this mean for that industry?
Now, if you're an investor, you have some really tough decisions to make right now because you're hearing from this organization called the Carbon Tracking Initiative that investments in things like oil and coal and even natural gas will become stranded. That is, they'll become uneconomical because the regulations will basically and essentially prohibit coal in the future.
Meaning there'll be so many government regulations that it's not worth it.
So you'd be pouring a lot of money into something that's going to fail. And that's what you're hearing in one ear. In the other ear, you're hearing, all this solar stuff. I don't really know. That seems like kind of squishy to me.
Yeah, is it really going to work?
Yeah. So the real money is at stake. And that's why the world's investors are paying a lot of attention to what's going on in Paris right now.
Greg, do you think there's a problem with actually getting a change in how we consume oil and gas right now, especially because the prices are so low that consumers basically, it's just not something that they're as sensitive to when gas prices were $4 or $5 a gallon. And we got to turn to something like a Prius. We got to get a solar roof on my house. And now I just don't care as much because I'm not feeling it as much.
Yeah. So the biggest concern I've got is that we're getting addicted to fossil fuels because prices are so low. And there's not much you can do about that. People are running out to get SUVs right now, and they're not as concerned as you say.
So there's a big movement that's happening on a lot of college campuses to try and actually divest from fossil fuel companies. Here in New York, the mayor has even talked about the idea of trying to look at or study the idea of divesting the city's public pensions from these type of companies. Is that having any sort of impact and changing the climate question here?
You know, when people advocate divestment, one argument for it is sort of a clean hands argument. It's like, I just don't want to get my hands dirty with stuff that I disagree with. And that's sort of a moral case, and you can argue it one way or the other. But if you're actually trying to make a change, it's somewhat less effective because, you know, if you boycott oil and say, we're not going to use oil, that has a real effect. But if all you do is say, I'm not going to own the stock, that just means somebody else is going to own the stock, and the shares will be concentrated in the hands of the people who don't care about the oil and gas and coal producers.
So, Greg, if you do care about this issue and you're trying to figure out where to invest your money, I mean, this is at a very retail level, but what does an individual do?
You know, it's a tricky question because, let's say, a natural gas provider. Is that a company we want to boycott if we care about the stuff or not? I mean, just a few years ago, environmentalists loved and natural gas companies, even those doing fracking, because the argument was, and I'm a big believer in that, they can provide a bridge from the fossil fuel world to, and buys us time to allow us to develop alternatives. And obviously, they're much better for the environment than coal. And we are seeing a real shift from coal to natural gas because of fracking and other kinds of things. I mean, our carbon dioxide emissions, we didn't sign Kyoto, and yet our carbon dioxide emissions are back to 1994 levels, not because of any government action or because we're good people, because we've shifted from coal to natural gas, and we're shipping all our coal abroad. So if you care about this kind of stuff, I guess you focus on those kind of companies like solar and wind. But I'm a little skeptical because I don't know where you draw the line when things like natural gas companies.
For both of you, and Peter, I know you're a little doubtful already, but what do you think the odds are that there will even be any sort of agreement out of Paris?
They're going to come up with something. It even just as a fig leaf. You can't walk away from a two-week-long summit involving heads of state from all around the world and just say, oh, no, we lost.
Yes, yeah, so I agree that they'll come up with something and then the Chinese and others will probably ignore it and keep producing. But there are encouraging signs. I mean, the Chinese coal production has leveled off and they're shifting. They're hoping to shift from a manufacturing base to a consumer. So to that extent, they're becoming more efficient consumers of energy, and that's good for all of us.
Well, Greg Zuckerman from The Wall Street Journal, Peter Coy from Bloomberg Businessweek, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.